Anyway, it's so good to see you today. I have a question about this game night. Can I bring Candy Lane along? Is that something that's...
Yeah. It's not Candy Lane. You can't even say it.
Candy Land. That's Hershey Park. They have Candy Land. How about Chutes and Ladders? Okay, enough with the games.
That's okay, I interpreted well.
He did. Yeah, he knew what I was talking about. Oh, my. It was a long time ago when my kids were that age. We'll just say that and end it there.
How do you help you out?
Okay, I'll take the help. I'll take the help for sure. So, I hope the games are simple, because if they're complicated, like my son, you know, does these board games, and it's just too complicated for me, so it has to be simple for me to get it. Anyway, well, it is our first Sunday in Lent, and some of you perhaps have given something up for Lent. I don't know. Don't tell anyone, right? That's something that Jesus encourages us. If we fast or do something, to not make a big spectacle of it, right? We want it to be, you know, between our Father and us, because we don't want to, you know, shout from the rooftops, "Look at me, I'm fasting." My wife and I did something 1 year for Lent that we will never, ever, ever do again. She's shaking her head no. We gave up coffee for Lent. I know. I'm going to meet a couple to do marriage counseling. They're going to get married in the church. I'm going to tell them three things. Put Christ the center of your relationship. Make sure to have date nights. And do not, under any circumstances, give up coffee for Lent. You know, Lent is a word that is not in the Bible. It's defined as this: the period preceding Easter that in the Christian church is devoted to fasting, abstinence, penitence, and commemoration of Christ's fasting in the wilderness. In the Western church, it runs from Ash Wednesday to Holy Saturday, and so it includes 40 weekdays. The early church, at some point, the early Christians began to sense this need to identify a time period prior to Holy Week to be more focused and to give something up, right? Not to earn points. We don't do Lent to earn points, right? We can earn points with God. The cross earned all the points we need. It's more of devotion and a desire to draw close to God. That is why we do Lent. Around 325 AD is when it became more official that the church recognized this period and called it Lent. Well, the text that supports this idea of 40 days is what was read by Libby, is from Luke's Gospel in the 4th chapter. The same text, the same narrative of Jesus being tempted for 40 days is also found in Matthew chapter 4, actually. And the Gospel of Mark mentions it just briefly by saying that after Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And there were wild beasts there, and angels were ministering to him. But that's all Mark really says. There are a few other differences in it, but we'll talk about that. Let's first say a prayer. Father, we come before you and worship. And Father, while we are here and we are engaging with you in song and in scripture and prayers and creeds, our hearts still are with those in Eastern Europe. And Father, for many of us, it's just hard to get this out of our minds. And so, Father, we as a congregation, and we'll pray more about this later, but we as a congregation lift those people up, and we ask God that you would bring this to an end, that there would be no more loss of life. And now, God, as we look into your word, we ask, Father, that you're, through your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that led Jesus out into the wilderness for 40 days, would guide us as we look at this passage, that we would learn more about you, and that we would love you more and learn to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, the text is also in Matthew chapter 4. You can read that today, if you want to get extra credit, but a few of the slight differences, and then we're going to get into this text here. Where's Rhoda at? How are you going to throw something at me from way back there? If I get to 45 minutes, then stop me. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. You're all like, the kids are like, no. Okay. Matthew states that there were angels that will minister to Jesus after this temptation by Satan. Mark calls the tempter Satan, whereas Matthew and Luke call him the devil. And one interesting thing is the order of the temptations is slightly different. If you were to look in Matthew, the order is temptation to turn stone into bread, followed by the pinnacle, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world if you worship me. And then the third, almost like it's an ascending, getting more and more serious, so to speak, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world if you worship me. So that's the order in Matthew, but Luke's order is a little different. Luke has the turning the stone into bread first, like Matthew, but then Luke has, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. And then the last one is the pinnacle of the temple. And Luke's ordering was probably for theological reasons. Luke is very fixed in his gospel on Jerusalem. And that is where Jesus is ultimately heading. As we're going through Lent, it will take us to Jerusalem. And the Holy Week. So anyway, I'm going to step through our text. We're going to look briefly at each of these temptations. Right out of the gate, I want to mention one thing that is important. And I'm sure you've heard sermons from this text. I have no doubt Pastor Dave Clark probably pointed this out multiple times in his duration here. Jesus' response to each of the temptations is Scripture. He doesn't get into a long theological, philosophical argument. He uses Scripture to counter, and you'll see that. So let's get into, I'm going to use, this is a Bible. This was my wife's grandmother's Bible, Mary Paul. We lost her, I don't know how many years ago, a long time. But I use her Bible a lot, and she was a strong Christian, and I love just studying and preaching out of this Bible. Anyway, let's get into this chapter 4. We'll move through this. Chapter 4, verse 1 in Luke, and Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So, the Holy Spirit, Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit. If you just go back a little bit, when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. And then the Father said, this is my Son, whom I am well pleased. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit is the one that is urging and compelling Jesus to go out in the wilderness. So the Holy Spirit is really the organizer of this event. The Holy Spirit is the organizer of this event. Verse 2, for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, he ate nothing during these days, and when they had ended, he became hungry. So this verse 2 kind of gives us the sense that the temptations by the evil one were kind of continuing through the entire duration of the 40 days. And we can probably look at these last three as the grand finale. Right? Satan is going to give his very best shot. Right? Verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. So Satan is, we would say he is trying one of the easy temptations first, food, right? Jesus is famished, he's famished, and so he is weak and frail and vulnerable. Jesus, just turn that stone into bread, okay? Your hunger pains will go away. We like food, don't we? I was running my errands yesterday, and I called my wife on the cell phone and said, hey, I'm just on a Tractor Supply. Should I go to Chick-fil-A? She said, yes, I'm there. Yeah. Then she said, can you get me a salad there? And I thought, okay, you want a salad? Sure. And I thought to myself, it's Lent, Eric. You should eat a little healthier. Maybe you should get a salad too. And what do you think I ordered? I did the spicy deluxe with fries. Chick-fil-A sauce. If you haven't had that yet, wait till after Lent. Just messing. Satan's first temptation appears to be appealing to human need, hunger. Kind of an easy. That's kind of a softball, is it not? Jesus, you're really, really hungry. Let's do that stone into bread and we're done. But I think there's something deeper to this, because if you look at what Satan says, he says, if you are the Son of God. And as I worked through that and I prayed over that text, I almost am thinking, is Satan kind of trying to do this? Are you sure you're the Son of God? Are you sure? Yeah, we heard that from heaven, but you're kind of out here in the desert. Is that what the Son of God is going to do? Or why don't you just make this stone into bread? Tell you what, you can take care of the hunger pains, and you can, if there was any doubt in anyone's mind that you're the Son of God, you just completely ruled that, or you just completely made that obvious. Get it? Kill two birds with one stone. Anyway, I tried there. Yeah. I think there's something deeper than just the hunger. I think Satan was trying to get into Jesus' brain. If you are the Son of God, then do this. See, we have to, these are challenging passages, because we confess in our creeds, Jesus is God, a very God. He is fully divine and fully human. And when we read through these texts, we have to conclude that Jesus voluntarily is not drawing on his divine strength. He is facing this like you or I would have to face it in his humanity. Jesus' response is pretty well straightforward. It is written. He uses scripture. He's quoting Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone. We are not just molecules and just atoms. We are humans made in the image of God. And we are more than just what we eat. We have an essence about us that God has created. Verse 5, he led him up and showed, this is temptation number 2, and he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, we don't know how that would have been, but in a moment of time, Satan was able to show Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. In verse 6, the devil said to him, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I'll give it to whoever I wish. To whomever I wish. All you got to do is worship me. You can have it all. So, I guess, first of all, did Satan really have that power? And if we look, there's other New Testament texts that would suggest he did, right? 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4 suggests that Satan is caught, as it suggests. Paul says Satan is the god of this world, right? And 1 John 5:19 says, we know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So I think it's whether Satan really did or just was self-deceived thinking he did, he was willing to say, this is all yours. All you got to do is worship me for a little bit. Right? Jesus responds, how does he respond? With a deep theological rebuttal? No, he uses scripture. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy 6:13. When I think of this text, this is, again, I've tried to, in my mind, I'm going for a walk thinking, what is going on here? What is going on here? Is Satan kind of saying this? Jesus, you're out in the wilderness. You will be the king of our creation. You will reign as king eventually. But guess what? The plan that God has will mean going to a cross. It'll mean being beaten. It'll mean praying from a garden, lonely, dripping drops of blood. Being put to death in the most humiliating way conceivable. I'm trying to imagine Satan is maybe saying, I have another way. You can have all of this without having to go through all that. But there's one problem. Our sin never gets paid for. Jesus' mission was to save a lost humanity through his sacrificial death on the cross. Right. He led him then, we're going to go to verse 9 here. How am I doing here? Verse 9, which is the next and last of the temptations. And he led him to Jerusalem. He had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, about 150 feet high, I guess. I don't know. Something like that. And again, Satan says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. Now, something interesting here, if you want to notice something. Satan then uses Scripture. The first two temptations, he just said, I'll give you all the domains. Jesus continues to respond using Scripture. Now Satan says, okay, if you're going to use Scripture, I'm going to use it too. Why don't you throw yourself off of the pinnacle? If you are the Son of God, it says in Psalm 91 that he will give his angels charge over you and bear you up. Jesus said to him, it is said, you shall not put your Lord God to the test. Quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. It's interesting that we know there are cult groups that use Scripture to deceive the church. We know that, right? There are a lot of, throughout the course of history, a lot of groups have used the Bible for sinful things. I was reading this morning, check this out, but I believe Putin, Vladimir Putin, is in some respect part of the Russian Orthodox Church. Now, I think he's sure deceived. What he's doing is so contrary to God and to what Christ would want. It is possible to use the Word of God for negative and evil means, and we know this. This is why it's good that we focus on the Word of God. The Bible studies are really good to participate in. This is why, when I recall Pastor Dave Clark, you know, why I was really impressed with these churches was his focus on the Bible. As we have the Bible, then that is our way of combating evil in our lives, is quoting Scripture. We sang the song, Who You Say I Am. Well, if Satan says to him, are you sure you're really a child of God? Well, yes, I am. John chapter 1, verse 12 says, and to all received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. I'm closing right now. We have this beautiful property that we're in. I call it the Bob Walter Memorial Farm property because it's where Bob grew up. We have this dream to somehow turn this property into something of ministry, whether it be for informal worship services or a place of healing, a place of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to take energy and time. And during COVID-19, we're all a little weird, right? Well, I'm going through Fuller Seminary. I wonder if I could apply for a doctorate program and get a doctorate. That'd be kind of cool, wouldn't it? That'd be cool. And then, you know, I applied and they said, yeah, seminaries will take your money right now. They will. Right, they do. They take your money. And they should. They have to pay, you know, staff and everything. But as I thought of it, you know how much I would love to, but do you know how much time and money and energy that would completely absorb me? I wouldn't be able to focus on it, right? I'd focus on nothing else. And what God, I believe, has placed in our vision would not be attended to, and we'd be off doing something. I think that is what these temptations are about. Jesus had a mission. I am coming to die on the cross because humanity and all creation is groaning and is lost. And that's my mission. And Satan had one goal with these temptations. Just get Jesus off a little bit. Get him off task a little bit. That's all. He didn't have to, fully humiliate Jesus. He just had to get him off task. Fortunately for us, Jesus was faithful as our example. So ponder on his faithfulness as you are going through this Lenten period. Focus on Jesus' desire to be obedient to God and be focused on God. Amen.